Any moment now, the White House will hold its first press briefing on camera in exactly a week. And it's happening as Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell just announced he is delaying the vote on the Senate's version of the plan to replace Obamacare.
This week, the Republican health care bill collapsed in the Senate. The president was caught displaying fake Time magazine covers featuring himself. The New York Times published a certified list of Trump's 100 presidential lies so far. And Trump's ex-campaign chief confessed to taking $17 million from Kremlin cronies without reporting it. So, business as usual. The White House castigated left and right for failures of its own making. And business as usual, the White House shifting the blame onto the press.
If the media can't be trusted to report the news, then that's a dangerous place for America. And I think if that is the place that certain outlets are going, particularly for the purpose of spiking ratings, and if that's coming directly from the top, I think that's even more scary and certainly more disgraceful.
That was Deputy Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders lashing out at the media for the sin of reporting what is happening instead of accepting the official pronouncements from the alternate reality of Trump galaxy.
Our bill, which is a tenth of the size, does repeal and replace in what their bill just did in massive government bureaucracy.
I mean, I have heard from a large number of individuals that work at the FBI that said that they're very happy with the president's decision.
I think when you look at the totality of what we've accomplished on job creation, on immigration, on trade, it's been a huge, hugely successful first 100 days.
Some of those clips are golden oldies because in the past 2 weeks of press room briefings, news organizations have mainly been forbidden to record. The briefings are no longer daily either, and they're often monopolized not by Q&A, but by administration carping about press coverage. On Tuesday, one member of the White House press corps had finally heard enough. Brian Karam of the Sentinel newspapers lit into Sarah Sanders for the litany of smears.
We're here to ask you questions.
Right.
You're here to provide the answers. And what you just did is inflammatory to people all over the country who look at it and say, see, once again, the president is right and everybody else out here is fake media. And everybody in this room is only trying to do their job.
And her response said it all.
I disagree completely. First of all, I think if anything has been inflamed, it's the dishonesty that often takes place by the news media. And I think it is outrageous for you to accuse me of inflaming a story when I was simply trying to respond to his question.
Of course, this week, if you're selling the narrative of fake news, opportunity knocked. CNN retracted a story, and three prominent journalists were forced to resign, not because the story about a Trump associate was proven wrong, but because they violated rules on sourcing. Months earlier, a Pool Reporter's tweet about a supposedly missing Oval Office bust of Martin Luther King also was immediately retracted because the reporter was mistaken. Recently fired FBI Director James Comey took issue with a February New York Times piece about alleged contacts between Trump associates and Russian officials, saying, in the main, it was not true. But in all, only a handful of the thousands of mainstream media stories about the president's finances, his entanglements with Russia, and the investigations of his campaign and administration have been shown to be materially incorrect, much less fabricated, as Trump repeatedly alleges.
President Trump took them to task, tweeting, quote, so they caught fake news CNN cold. But what about NBC, CBS, and ABC? What about the failing New York Times and Washington Post? They are all fake news.
And President Trump tweeted just moments ago, quote, the Amazon/Washington Post, sometimes referred to as the guardian of Amazon not paying internet taxes, parentheses, which they should, is fake news.
Donald Trump lecturing on tax avoidance. Like, wow. Oh, and there's no such thing as an internet tax. But let us look at the scale of this assault. Like many a Republican candidate before him, Trump ran against the media as a liberal cadre with an agenda and without scruples. What distinguishes him is that from the first full day of his presidency, he has stayed on the attack. It began January 21st at the CIA and has kept up straight through Thursday's bizarre tweets, focused on MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski.
I heard poorly rated Morning Joe speaks badly of me. Don't watch anymore, the president tweeted. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika, along with Psycho Joe, came to Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no.
Again with the bleeding women. Good God, Mr. President. What is the matter with you? Thursday on CNN, Republican strategist Anna Navarro wondered why GOP legislators aren't asking the same thing.
It's time that somebody looks at the camera and looks at him and calls him up and says, listen, you crazy lunatic 70-year-old man, baby, stop it. You are now the president of the United States, the commander in chief, and you need to stop acting like a mean girl because we just won't take it. We won't vote with you. We won't work with you. I can't start talking about tax reform. I can't start talking about healthcare reform because I can't get past the fact that we have a president who lacks the sufficient character.
Yes, when a fourth grader repeatedly acts out like this, he's likely to be placed in a special class for the emotionally challenged. When the president of the United States does it, the members of his own party praise him with faint damn.
Obviously, I don't see that as an appropriate comment. I think, look, what we're trying to do around here is improve the tone and the civility of the debate. And this obviously doesn't help do that.
To refer to a female's face as someone that's involved in politics, it's just not appropriate.
And we're not going to agree. We're not always going to get along. But there is no need for such uncivil language.
And that's why these attacks on the Fourth Estate are especially dangerous. With a rubber stamp Republican Congress that still finds it expedient to suppress outrage, Trump is inciting public opinion against the only safeguard against a government of, by, and for the outrageous lie. More than that, he's emboldening others to suppress the First Amendment. Arrests of reporters in Washington and West Virginia for having the temerity to ask a public official a question in public. Bills in 18 states to crack down on public assembly, including indemnifying drivers who run over protesters. A Montana congressional candidate who physically assaulted a journalist and won the election the next day. A new Ohio law that bans harassing online commentary in a way that could criminalize critical reporting of public officials. A rifle shot fired at the Lexington Herald leader days after the Kentucky governor disparaged journalists as destructive cicadas. Confirmation by Chief of Staff Rence Priebus that the White House is looking into more plaintiff-friendly libel laws. And Trump himself, asking the FBI to haul in reporters who publish leaks. In short, a gathering disrespect for free speech. So, what now? Well, there is what should happen and what will happen. It has long since become obvious that the press should boycott the White House briefing room, or just send interns, as NYU professor Jay Rosen suggested to Brooke back in January.
You don't have to serve as a hate object. There's nowhere it is written that you must do that.
Surely, as the New York Times, the Washington Post, and others have demonstrated, there is plenty of brilliant reporting to be done from the cubicles adjacent to the briefing room. So if Sean Spicer and Sarah Sanders want to gripe, let them do it to Fox, Breitbart, and Newsmax in 46 empty seats. But here is where things truly get twisted. The White House press corps isn't likely to boycott anything because their organizations, especially broadcast and cable, need the conflict. The flaming Trump wreck has fed the morbid fascination of the world, and ratings are through the roof. As CBS chairman Les Moonves confessed during the campaign, it may not be good for America, but it's damn good for CBS. What a perverse symbiosis of political and commercial cynicism. Not unlike the one that lavished on Trump billions worth of free media throughout the campaign. But now the pathology is more perverse still, because the hunger for ratings is making cannon fodder of the press corps. What a sick codependency. The 70-year-old man boy kicking and stamping and slapping and punching, and the battered victim coming back every day for more. We know how that can end. Can end in tragedy. Thanks for listening to this podcast extra. Join us for the big show this weekend, wherein we'll consider what it means to be American on this most American of holidays. I'm Bob Garfield.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.